Welcome, boys and girls. Good to see you again, or at least to be seen by you again. This is the second day of our virtual VBS. We're glad to have you all with us. We're going to have a great time today. Remember, if you missed yesterday's episode, you can always view it again on the Faith Free Presbyterian Church website. So I hope that you... Oh, look who's here. Mr. B, so good to see you all again. See you again, and I'm sure that's good. The boys or girls are good to, are happy to see you. Can I ask you something, Mr. B? Why are you wearing that mask? Oh, the coronavirus. I see. You heard that you're supposed to wear a mask because of the virus. I see. Boys and girls, do you think I should tell him? Yeah, I probably should. Mr. B, the mask is supposed to go over your nose and your mouth, not your eyes. Do you miss? Well, that's okay. We love you anyhow, Mr. B. Maybe you can try again the next time, okay? Thank you, Mr. B. Say hello to the boys and girls. Don't be too embarrassed. Oh, he's turning all yellow. Well, I hope that you're ready to enjoy a good day of VBS. And we're going to start with a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for bringing the boys and girls back. We thank you for the opportunity that we have of serving you through this VBS. We pray that much might be learned, and we pray that we might become more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for your presence with us and your help today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Dr. Overly, can we have some music, please?
Boys and girls, now we're going to sing the Bible reading habit. You know, there are lots of bad habits that we should try to get rid of in our lives. But there's one habit that we should really try to work on and learn about, and that is the Bible reading habit. Let's sing together.
Boys and girls, it's mission trip time again. Do you remember where we went yesterday? That's right, the Czech Republic. Do you remember the fun fact I told you about two things that were invented in the Czech Republic? What were they? Sugar cubes and soft contact lenses. I've been thinking more about those contact lenses. What was the sad fact about the Czech Republic? It's the most atheistic country in the world. Very few people there believe in God. Those people need spiritual contact lenses, don't they? They need spiritual contact lenses so they can see the truth of God's Word. And who are the missionaries we met in the Czech Republic? That's right, the Schultzes. And do you remember the two things we are asking God to give them? They begin with the letter F. We're asking God to give them faithfulness and fruit. Very good. I think you must have been paying very careful attention yesterday. All right, let's find out where we're going today. We're going to Africa to visit a country called Liberia. Liberia is in Western Africa, just above the place where the continent bumps out to the left. Do you see how Africa is a little like a backwards P? Liberia is right where the rounded part of the P goes out from the middle. Now that we know where Liberia is, let's find out some fun facts about it. Fun fact number one. Liberia has many interesting animals, including monkeys, chimpanzees, snakes, elephants, nearly 700 different bird species, and two especially interesting animals, the pangolin and the pygmy hippopotamus. This is a pangolin. It looks like a walking pine cone, doesn't it? When something surprises a pangolin, it rolls up into a ball. In fact, that's how it got its name. Pangolin comes from a Malay word that means something that rolls up. This, of course, is a pygmy hippopotamus. The pygmy hippopotamus is a very rare animal, but there are more of them in Liberia than anywhere else in the world. What does the word pygmy mean? If something is a pygmy something, it is much smaller than the usual whatever it is you're talking about. So pygmy hippos are very small hippos. In fact, they are about a tenth the size of regular hippos, being only about 2.5 feet tall and 5 feet from head to tail. Kind of cute, aren't they? In an ugly sort of way. Another fun fact. Liberia is close to the equator. That means the weather is very warm and humid all year long, and they get lots of rain, especially in the rainy season. You never need a heavy coat in Liberia, but you will definitely need an umbrella. Another thing that happens because the country is close to the equator is that the days and nights are equal in length all year long. Places that are farther north or south, such as where we live in South Carolina, have short days and long nights in the winter, and long days and short nights in the summer. In the summertime, you'd probably like to go outside to play after supper, but if you lived in Liberia, it would be dark shortly after 7 o'clock. That would seriously cut down on your fun, wouldn't it? But it might make it easier to go to bed when your mom wanted you to. I bet some of you have mothers that try to get you to go to bed while it's still light in the summertime. That would never be a problem in Liberia. Speaking of the dark, when it's nighttime in Liberia, it is very dark. Where we live, there are so many street lights and other lights on at night that our cities glow, even from space. That's not the case in Liberia. There are almost no street lights, and a lot of homes and businesses don't have electricity at all or have it for only brief periods. If you go out at night, you'd better have a good flashlight. Nighttime darkness can be a scary thing, but spiritual darkness is far worse. Darkness is the absence of light. So spiritual darkness is the absence of spiritual light. But what is spiritual light? Actually, it's not what is spiritual light, but who is spiritual light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Our hearts are dark with sin. There is only one light that can shine into that darkness and get rid of our sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining in your heart? Here is a sad fact about Liberia. There is a lot of spiritual darkness there. The people live in fear and ignorance because of pagan superstitions and false teachers. And a lot of the false teachers actually teach in Christian churches. You might be surprised to know that there are many, many churches in Liberia, and most Liberians call themselves Christians, unless they are Muslims. But many of those churches teach only part of the truth and mix it up with their own ideas, which means that people become very confused. They know little bits of the Bible, but they don't know the whole truth. For example, they teach that you have to do your best and keep God's commandments to be saved. Is that what the Bible says? No. The Bible says only the work of the Lord Jesus Christ can save us from our sins. The Liberians should read the Bible for themselves to see what it has to say, shouldn't they? But do you know what? Many of them can't read very well, and a lot of them can't read at all. They can't read the Bible for themselves to see what God really says. They are ignorant of the truth. They're in spiritual darkness. They need spiritual light. That brings us to the people we want to meet today, Reverend David DeCanio and Miss Joanne Greer. They're in Liberia to teach the people the truth about the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. They are telling the truth by preaching and teaching in the mission church and by witnessing to people they meet in offices or on the streets. They tell the truth in written form with a bookstore where people can buy Bibles and other good books. They tell the truth over the air with a radio station that reaches many more people than they could ever reach in person. And finally, Miss Greer helps children and adults learn to read so that they can read the truth for themselves. Today we've found out a lot about Liberia and the people there. How can we help out Mr. DeCanio and Miss Greer as they work for the Lord in Liberia? They would like us to pray that the people in Liberia would know the truth of God's word and that they would learn to trust Christ and Christ alone for their salvation. Can you remember that? We're praying for truth and trust for the Liberian people, that they would know the truth of God's word and trust in Christ alone. That's all the time we have for our mission trip today. But before I say goodbye, I want to mention one more little thing. When we meet next time, I'm going to ask you a few questions about today's trip. One of them will be, what are two things that would be helpful to take with you if you went on a real mission trip to Liberia? I'll see you next time.
Hi again, boys and girls. Today we have another Bible verse to learn, but before we do, let's review the one that you learned yesterday. You remember it? Romans 3:10-23. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our verse for today is also found in the book of Romans. It's Romans 6:23. Listen as I read it. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin, remember, in the verse that we learned yesterday, all have sinned. And the Bible says that because we have sinned, we have earned God's judgment, the wages of sin. And that judgment is death, which means separation from God for all eternity. But look at the second half of that verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to take our place so that we could have eternal life. And that's what this verse is saying. Let's say it together. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you say it along with me? Let's say it together. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look at this. I've put some blanks in there. Do you think you can fill in those blanks? For the wages of sin is, that's right, it's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's say the verse again together. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Very good, boys and girls.
Wait till you see this. Monkeys can go to VBS this year. Everyone can go to virtual VBS, even adults. Come on, Millie.
Are you sure? I don't see anyone here.
Of course not. We have to turn on the computer. How do you do this?
I got the best grade in my computer class. I even accidentally typed my name. Let me try.
Hey, what are you guys doing?
I think they want to watch VBS, too.
Well, I guess it's okay. Come on, guys, you can watch, too. But no touching the computer with your monkey paws.
All of us are familiar with the story of Little Red Riding Hood, but I could ask, which one? This is an old story with many variations. Sometimes the big bad wolf is after the goodies the girl is taking to grandmother. Other time, he wants to eat Riding Hood, and decides that getting grandmother would be easier. In some stories, the wolf eats grandmother. In other, she gets stashed in a closet. In some versions, the hunters kill the wolf and grandmother comes out alive. In others, she doesn't fare so well. The classic, "Oh, grandmother, what big eyes you have! The better to see you with, my dear," conversation is only found in some stories. Why so many versions? Cinderella, Rapunzel, Puss in Boots, Rumpelstiltskin, Snow White, Beauty and the Beast. These are all well-known fairy tales. These stories involve make-believe, non-real characters, like fairies, dragons, trolls, fairy godmothers, flying unicorns, mermaids, leprechauns. or anthropomorphisms, like the wolf that talks and reasons with Little Red Riding Hood. Since the story is made up, the message of the story, its meaning, its moral, can be changed by the storyteller. What the storyteller wants to teach, and to whom he wants to teach the lesson, determines how he will tell the story. If Little Red Riding Hood's message is, "Don't tell your business to strangers," the story is told one way. If the reason is to frighten children so that they don't wander off alone, it'll be told differently. If the purpose is to entertain a child, a different storytelling would probably be best. Because the story is dependent on the message the storyteller wants to communicate, some tellings are good, others not so good, and some are bad. By adding fun, interesting characters, and exciting details to the fairy tale, different tellers have made these stories very popular. But whether they are good or not depends on the message they communicate, not how interesting or how well they are told. Fairy tales are one kind of a much larger group of stories called fantasy. Fantasy stories are made up and involve non-real elements. In the past, fantasies may have involved ghosts or boys that can fly and never grow up. Modern fantasies may involve creatures from outer space, time travel, robotic people, entering into another dimension. Sometimes, there's a lot of made-up elements in a fantasy story. Other times, there is very little. Sometimes, these stories are to frighten people into doing or not doing something. Other times, they are to teach about someone's strengths or weaknesses. Some fantasies teach about courage, or the results of making bad decisions. If the storyteller is teaching a good lesson and doing it well, it can be considered a good story. Other fantasy stories should be rejected because of the bad message they are teaching. Even though it may be interesting or exciting, it's still bad. Today, some video games are actually fantasy stories which can be told in many different ways, depending on how the person plays the game. While exciting to some people, these games are generally entertainment, and the message they communicate can be very poor. There are Christian fantasies. John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress is an allegorical fantasy in which the main character, Christian, travels towards heaven. This illustration shows Christian fighting Apollyon, a made-up character representing the devil. All Christians must battle with Satan's temptations to sin. Bunyan, the storyteller, describes a fantasy battle between these two characters to teach his readers this lesson. Other Christian fantasies include the Chronicles of Narnia and the Screwtape Letters. In these books, C.S. Lewis, the storyteller, seeks to teach biblical truths. Some Christians disagree with some of the points the storyteller is teaching, but most people would agree that these are well-told stories, and generally, the author accomplishes his purpose. Some other modern Christian fantasies for children include Singing Tomatoes and Wisecracking Cucumbers, and other anthropomorphized vegetables. While interesting to many, the storytelling and some of the messages are not always the best. Does the Bible contain fantasy stories? No. Our all-powerful God does not need to write fantasy to teach us spiritual lessons. God repeatedly tells us that He is a God of truth. He is completely true. But what about that fable in the Bible? The one we spoke about last time that had the talking thistle, is that true? The fable we talked about was told by Amaziah to Joash. God didn't make up the fable to teach us a lesson. But God does tell us the truth about what one king said to another king. There are lies recorded in the Bible. They are lies that people told, and God truthfully tells us about the person's lying. Tomorrow, we'll talk more about the truth and the stories that we read in the Bible. Right now, let's learn about another parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. As you hear the story, see if you can figure out the message, what God is seeking to teach us by telling us this story.
Hello, boys and girls. Today's parable is a story Jesus told to answer someone's question. The person who asked the question was a lawyer, a man who knew God's law. He knew that God said that man should love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he should love his neighbor as himself. The man asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" To answer, Jesus told a parable about a man who was taking a journey from the city of Jerusalem to the city of Jericho. Now, when you and I take a trip, we usually just get into the car and go by car. But back then, there were no cars. Most people traveled by foot, or perhaps on an animal like a donkey. The journey from Jerusalem to Jericho was about 18 miles, so it was a good ways to go on foot. And it was a dangerous road, because it was rough and rocky and winding. But that's not the only reason it was dangerous. Bands of robbers would often hide along the road and attack unwary travelers, and they would steal their possessions. And you know, boys and girls, that's exactly what happened to the man in Jesus' parable. Jesus said that the man fell among thieves. Those thieves attacked him. They tore his clothing. They stole anything that was of value. And they beat him, and they left him bleeding. Jesus said they left him half dead there on the road. Oh, boys and girls, can you picture in your mind this poor man, unable to do anything to help himself? Sometime later, another traveler came down the road. As he came, one could see that he was wearing nice robes. This man was a priest. Oh, this is a man who taught people about God, a man who offered sacrifices for the sins of the people in the temple at Jerusalem. Oh, surely this man would help our poor traveler who's there suffering on the side of the road. The man came, and he saw the traveler. And do you know what he did, boys and girls? He went to the other side of the road and just walked on and left the man. He didn't have any compassion. He didn't try to help him. A little while later, another man came, Jesus said. This man was a Levite. Now, Levites served in the temple also. Perhaps the man had just finished his temple service and was on his way home. Levites knew the law of God, that they should love their neighbors as themselves. So surely this man would help our traveler. But he did just the same thing as the priest. He saw the man in his need, but he didn't do anything to help him. He too went to the other side of the road and kept going on his journey, leaving the man, perhaps, to die. Oh, what was the man to do? Then, a third man came traveling on the road. This man was neither a priest nor a Levite. Well, he wasn't even a regular Jew. This man was a Samaritan. Now, the Jews, most of them didn't like Samaritans. They thought Samaritans were not as good as they were. They thought Samaritans were outcasts, and they had very little to do with Samaritans. So it wasn't at all likely that this Samaritan would help this man lying on the side of the road, who himself was probably a Jew. But the Samaritan saw the man. He came over to where he was, and he knelt down, and Jesus said he had compassion on the man. He poured wine and oil into the man's wounds, trying to clean the wounds and to ease the man's pain. And he wrapped the wounds with bandages, perhaps that he tore from his own clothing. And he didn't leave the man there on the road. He lifted him and put him on his own animal, and he took him to an inn, where he cared for him all night long, giving him the provision that he needed. He showed kindness to this poor man. The next morning, the Samaritan had to continue his journey, but he gave the innkeeper money, and he told the innkeeper, "Take care of him, and if you spend more money, I'll repay you when I return." When Jesus had finished telling this parable to the lawyer who had asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus asked him a question. He said, "Which of these three do you think was neighbor to the man who fell among thieves?" The lawyer said, "He that showed mercy to him." Listen, boys and girls, as Miss Rebecca tells us a little bit more about this parable of the Good Samaritan.
What a story! Can you imagine when Jesus was telling this story to the crowds around him so many years ago? Some of the people in those crowds and the man who asked the question were actually trying to test Jesus, trying to get him to mess up, trying to argue with him about little points in the law. But Jesus wasn't going to be fooled. He knew the law better than anyone because he is the only one on earth that has ever kept it perfectly. Jesus, instead, showed them what the law required of them and how far short they had fallen of that. This story showed us amazing love and compassion that the Samaritan showed to this Jew or this man along the road. Samaritans and Jews were not friends. As Miss Lisa told us, they were enemies. They did not like each other, so they would not be expected to help one another. But this man went above and beyond what most people would even do. Some people might have gotten him to safety and hoped he survived somehow, but the Samaritan, he bound up his wounds. He helped him get all the way to the city, and then there he cared for him and then provided the money, a large amount of money, to get him the best care that he could get. He didn't just do the minimum of what he could do. He did everything he could do for this man. The compassion in this story should be an example to us of how we should treat those around us. At this level of compassion, we should also learn from the priest and the Levite who did nothing for this man, that how we should not treat others, what we should avoid. However, there's more to the story than just a compassionate man helping another man. This story, Jesus was trying to show how much the law required of us. It doesn't just require us to do the bare minimum to help our neighbor. It requires the maximum. None of us can reach that. None of us can keep the law perfectly. Many of the leaders in that day thought they could. They thought that they could do it all. But Jesus showed them the law had a different purpose. Let me read to you a verse in Galatians 3:24. It says, "Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster," that's a teacher, "to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." So the law is very important. But the religious leaders in that day, and many people today as well, think that keeping the law or being good people is going to save them somehow. But this verse tells us that the law is not intended for that. The law is to point us to Christ. The law is to show us that we can't do it on our own. We need Christ. The law was never intended to save. It was intended to show that need. We don't really know how the people responded to Jesus' lesson in that day. However, we do know that some of the religious leaders hardened their hearts against Jesus, even after that lesson. They refused to believe, just like the soil we learned about yesterday, that hard soil where they hardened their hearts against the word. They would not believe. So what about you? Do you think you can do it on your own? Maybe you think you're one of those kids that keeps the rules and you do pretty well. You're better than that kid down the street or those kids at school. Oh, they give the teacher such trouble, but you do the right thing. But that isn't enough. You cannot keep the law perfectly. No one can. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short." That means we can't reach it. We've come short of God's glory. I hope each of you hearing this lesson today won't just hear it with your ears, but that you'll listen to it in your heart. You'll learn of compassion, of the compassion of the Good Samaritan, but also that you will see the need of your heart for Christ, that you are a sinner in need of Christ, unable to keep the law. Let's pray and ask God to help us today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the law that you've given to us, that it is to point us to you, Lord. I thank you that even in our failings that we can trust in you, that even in seeing our sin, that can drive us closer to you, Lord. I pray that we would see, each of these children would see their need for you today. Help them to turn to you, to repent of their sin, and turn from it and come to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I was thinking about the story and wondering if I would have helped the man.
Why don't you think you would?
Well, last week when we went with Mom to Grandma's, I just whined a lot about how long it was taking, and I didn't help Grandma with her gardening or cooking. I was only thinking about myself. If I didn't help my own grandma, would I help someone I thought of as my enemy?
Well, we all need to learn how to love our neighbors better. No one keeps God's law perfectly.
I want to keep God's law, but I am thankful that we have salvation through Jesus' work and not ours. I can't do it, but Jesus can.
I never thought about it that way before, but it's true. The more we see our sin and that we can't get it right, the more we see that we need Jesus.
I know I'm a sinner.
I used to think I could do it on my own, but God showed me that I couldn't, just like in our lesson today.
I think I'll talk to Mom and Dad about more ways that we can show love to all those that God has put in our lives.
That's a great idea. Maybe we could even come up with some different ways to work together and help people.
That is great. I don't want to end up like the priest or the Levite who weren't willing to help. I want to be a Christian who shows God's love.
Yeah, me too. Now let's get back to more virtual VBS.
Welcome to day two of our craft, boys and girls, and today we're going to be making some little flat-roofed houses just like this for our dioramas. And all you need to gather for your materials is these printables, and you'll need figure 1, 2, and 3. And actually these are, they're all very similar except that they vary in size. So I've given you the option of making a little stacked house like this, and that's why there's the small size, the middle size, and then the larger size. And so really this is very simple. What we're going to do first of all is add a little bit of detail to each of the houses by adding small windows up high close to the roof, because that would have been very characteristic of this time period. And we'll add some wooden doors and things like that to and hopefully make them really cute and interesting looking. So, and then once we've done that, we will get our paints or pencils or whatever you're going to use today and colour them in and then cut them out and stick them, and that's it. So let's get started. So I'm just going to show you how to add some of the detail, and then you can go ahead and just add as much or as little detail as you like. So this part here would make the roof of the little cubed building. So this here
is going to be that. So if you want to make some markings that make it look like a roof, then you can do that. For this one, I'm going to stack the smaller cube on top, so I'm just going to leave the roof as it is. So I will start by drawing a rectangle for my door. I'm going to draw some vertical lines to make it look like it's wooden. Forgot to say again, if you are using a Sharpie, please do make sure that you have something underneath it so that it doesn't go through and destroy your table underneath. Okay, so I've drawn my door, and then just remember that in this time period and in this part of the world, the windows are usually very small and up high, or kind of long, narrow windows. So I think I'll draw some on this section. I'm going to make them long and narrow. And here I'm going to make four little square windows up high. And that's it. You don't have to add any more detail than that. I'm going to try and make these buildings a kind of orangey sandy color. Let's see how it goes. So I'll start with this other one. Because we're going to be cutting this out, I'm really not too concerned about keeping within the lines. Just sweep the color over. Boys and girls, really what you should do right now is let it dry a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and cut mine out, but maybe if yours is still wet, you should leave it for a few minutes. It won't take very long. So if you're a small boy and girl, this would be a good time to get help from an adult, just to help you with the trickier parts of cutting out. But just anyway, cut along close as you can to the markings, and we're almost done. Okay, and grab your glue stick, and we're just going to run some glue around each of those tabs. Okay, and I like to start with it this way and stick this tab first. So just hold it together until it's stuck, and then work on this side. And then lastly we'll work on the back piece. And then just shape it and flatten it into place in any parts that just don't look right. And that's it, boys and girls. You keep repeating that as many times as you like, making as many of the little buildings as you want. You can make just one or two, or you can make lots. It's really entirely up to you. Boys and girls, that's the end of our craft for today, and I do hope that you have enjoyed making these little houses to add to your dioramas. Tomorrow we will be adding livestock to our village scene, and I hope that you'll enjoy that. It'll be a little bit different than what we've been doing the last few days, because we'll be making pom-poms and then turning them into some of the animals that you've been hearing about in the parables. So I think that'll be fun, and I hope you come back for that. That is also the end of VBS for today, and I'm going to pray now, and we're going to ask the Lord to bless us. So close your eyes and let's talk to the Lord. Dear Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your blessing. Thank you so much for being with us every day. And thank you for these boys and girls who have spent time listening to the recordings and watching online today. We're so grateful for the means to be able to do this. And we praise you, Lord, for all of your goodness and for everything that you've done for us through these days. Bless the boys and girls, please, Lord. May you help them to hear the words that are spoken this week. May they may it be taken into their hearts, and may it take root. And Lord, may they be changed because of what they hear. Lord, we pray for salvation. Pray for a warming of hearts that maybe are cold. And Lord, we just pray for the children to be blessed and to be encouraged and strengthened. May you help them, Lord, that they would grow through these days, that they would get stronger as Christians. And Lord, I pray also that they would have lots of fun, and that it would be a really good time, and that they would be thankful that they've been part of VBS this year, even though it's been a different format. So Lord, please bless the children and bless the families that they come from. And Lord, I ask that you will be with us for the rest of this day and help us to serve you in some small way for the rest of this day. For I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.